This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Yeah, a bit of fun, a bit of entertainment, a bit of analysis. We've got it all on the Friday shake-up on Hack. Welcome, I'm Dave Marchese. So good to be here for another week. And what a week it's been. There's been a lot going on. Politics, sport, fashion. This shake-up is for everyone, I guarantee it. Here's a taste of what's coming up.
Hack.
We cannot be a multicultural society.
We'd like to find the right.
FIFA has responded to calls for an Australian official to be removed.
An Apple Watch is out.
Apple Watches have been out for... They were never in.
They were never in. They're not cool and they're ugly.
On Triple J.
Yeah, big thoughts on wearable technology. Obviously, it's nothing new, but you might have seen this week Snapchat's parent company released its very, very expensive smart glasses. The only thing is, people say they look horrible. They're not doing much for fashion. So I'm asking, is wearable tech going too far? Like, how do you feel about everyone getting around in their smart watches and their smart jewelry, their smart glasses, wearing them to fancy events, refusing to take them off? Yes or no? 0439 757 555. I know it's going to be controversial. Maybe the most controversial topic of the day. Who knows? That's what you get on The Shake-Up. I'm Dave Marchese. Let's meet our guests for the week. And back by popular demand from a worldwide tour, entertainer, etc., etc. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling absolutely fabulous, Dave.
You had a massive trip away for 7 weeks.
Yeah, I'm inventing this new thing. It's called a Euro summer. You might not have heard of it before. I'm pioneering the term. You heard it here. Hot stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone will be doing it soon.
So how was the 7 weeks? Where'd you go? What'd you do?
I started in the UK and then I went to Amsterdam, Stockholm. Home, Berlin,
wow.
Barcelona. I know. I feel like I've been cleansed, but the opposite, you know? Filled with toxic waste.
Yeah,
and I love it.
I was asking before, are you feeling really relaxed and revitalized?
Kind of. I'm still coughing up tapas, so I'll let you know how I go.
It's always a good sign of a good holiday. Well, look, busy, busy person as always. We've got lots to discuss, but also with us today, media reporter at Crikey, Danny Saeed. Hey, Danny.
Dave, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. How's your week been? A bit of a mad one, I think.
A little bit of a crazy one. I'm the same as etc. I'm coming back from this sort of a bit of a Euro, some mini Euro summer.
Yeah.
So a little bit of the same for me as well. Croatia, Albania,
so you had
and Italy.
Tiny bit of a break. It's been an intense year so far, and looking like it's going to be another intense few months. There's also the World Cup we're going to be talking about. Are you watching the World Cup, Danny?
Of course, of course. Up at 5 a.m. every morning.
You're into it.
All right. Doing no work whatsoever.
Well, look, we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more very soon. Let's get...
Hack.
We cannot be a multicultural society. We are a multiracial society, but we must be monocultural.
On Triple J.
Yeah, probably not a story in Australia that has as much attention as Pauline Hanson's speech to the National Press Club. Not only the speech, but also the reaction, the stunt that interrupted the One Nation leader's address. I want to hear your thoughts. What did you think of Pauline Hanson's address? Do you think it's going to make One Nation more or less popular with voters? Also, what is with Gina Rinehart making bulldozer noises?
Hack. A debut 30 years in the making. Pauline Hanson has delivered her first National Press Club address.
The silent protest inside masked a louder one outside.
We'd like to fight the right!
Is Channel 9 here? I just want to clarify. I did come cattle class, actually. Just want to get that out of the way.
Good on you, Pauline. All right.
We don't have a housing shortage here in Australia. We have a mass migration problem here in Australia.
An orange bulldozer. Let's hear the noise. Brrr.
On Triple J.
Yeah, still keen to hear your thoughts on Pauline Hanson's National Press Club address, making a lot of headlines this week, and we're hearing from you on the text line. Someone saying, what Pauline was trying to say is we want one Australia with no divisions. I don't think that's a bad thing, is someone's opinion there. Another person saying, a monoculture means a lack of ability to adapt. Australia needs to be adaptable, in my view. And then someone else saying, look, if Pauline is successful, that means a lot of Australians agree with her and we need to respect that. Okay, I want to hear your take too. 0439 757 555. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by entertainer, et cetera, et cetera, and journalist Dani Saeed. Dani, I might start with you. Do you think Senator Hanson has successfully won over voters with this speech? Like the people who might have been unsure about One Nation?
Yeah, in a sense, yes. I don't think the press gallery landed many body blows, and like not to use, because it is an overused cliche to use, you know, sporting or boxing sort of analogies, but I don't think they landed many hits. If that's what they were looking for, I don't think they did. I think Pauline Hanson got a really great opportunity to articulate at most stages sort of her various, sometimes thin, but comprehensive policy positions. And the press gallery sort of let it go to some extent, sort of uninterrogated.
Right. So you're saying you think that the journalists who were there didn't ask hard enough questions?
Yeah, basically, for the most part. There were exceptions to that. Sarah Martin from The Guardian sort of very bravely and sort of wore, as we've seen, sort of the fallout of war, a lot of the wrath of Pauline's anger, and Anna Henderson from SBS as well. But for the most part, there are questions that allowed a platform for Pauline to articulate her policy. And maybe that was part of the aim of this is the first time she's been at the press club in 30 years and the first time she's been obligated to stand there and take questions from the press gallery.
Well, she has been, I think, invited a few times but has never accepted the invitation. But now we've seen One Nation has been doing very well in the polls. Obviously decided this was the time she wanted to make this big address to the nation's media, to the country as well, et cetera. I mean, what did you make of the speech?
I think it's very clear from the reaction that most of Australia has had to not only the speech, but One Nation and Pauline Hanson's rise in popularity, is that most Australians are sick of the major two parties. They're looking for an alternative. And I think the crux of her speech offering that up was very attractive to a lot of people who are disillusioned by the state of politics, not only in this country, but the world. Do I think necessarily that her platform or her solutions are the best road forward for Australia? Personally, I don't. But she is offering a very enticing, you know, fantasy for a lot of people where they can choose something for the first time in a long time that is an option that isn't Labor or Liberal. And I think that that's really appealing to a lot of Australians.
I mean, there was some really kind of dramatic stuff in there, you could say, that would be a major shift if it was to be implemented. I mean, talking about multiculturalism, Pauline Hanson saying against that, thinks we should have a monoculture, rallied against what she called transgender ideology. What did you make of some of those statements?
I think a lot of her talking points are inflammatory on purpose. I think a lot of them are imported from politics overseas to try to ride this far-right wave that's happening around the world. And I don't necessarily think that those are the opinions that everyday Australians hold. However, when bundled in with this fear of, you know, a cost of living crisis and a lack of housing, these kind of ideas for people that may not be very well versed in a lot of these political conversations kind of go to the buy side. They're not their most important issues. And so Pauline can kind of sneak in these kind of ideologies when having these discussions, and people aren't valuing them as the most important thing.
Well, Dani, I guess Pauline Hanson would say, I'm not sneaking in anything. I've not changed my opinion over the years. That's her line that she's been using for a while. I mean, do you have any insight in your work as a journalist and covering the media into why she has so much cut through at the moment?
I think we're just seeing a really particularly difficult economic environment. Like etc. says that people are struggling to put food on the table and roofs over their heads. And when that happens, we've seen, this is not unique to Australia, this is a phenomenon that is seen all around the world, that when this happens, sort of relatively extreme views from outside the Overton window get pushed one way or the other. And we've seen, obviously, in the United States, we've seen in the UK, right-wing parties in particular, conservative parties, really harness those grievances. And like Amy Remakis, who's a political journalist, made this point this week that Pauline Hanson uses a lot of these grievances, like fishing lures was her analogy. And it's a mile wide and an inch deep, and she finds different grievances for people to pick up on, and they say that particular issue speaks to me. She's talking sense. I'm going to vote for One Nation, and because it may not be, they may not be the most sort of turned on or tuned on, sort of voter. You end up going, okay, well, I'll take One Nation because that speaks to me on a particular issue, and to hell with everything else that comes with it. Or you start to rationalise your acceptance of other parts of that platform that you may not have spoken to in the first instance.
I mean, we are hearing from some people who are saying, I do support Pauline Hanson. I don't support this element of her platform, but I do support other things that she talks about. We've got Jason in Sydney who says, Hanson has been blowing the same dog whistle for her entire career but accomplished no actual meaningful change. Despite 30 years in politics, she has nothing to offer the country but stunts and grievance, is Jason's opinion there. Another person saying, why all the hate for Pauline when she's clearly going to do a better job than the corrupt government we have now, is that person's opinion. And someone else saying, we need migrants in our country. They contribute in a great way. Yeah, Dani, I'm interested to hear your take as someone from like culturally diverse background yourself. What did you make of the commentary around the monoculture and getting rid of multiculturalism?
I found it deeply troubling, Dave, to put, I think, very diplomatically and in ABC safe terms. I thought it was very troubling. I think the thing that most troubled me about it is that we know that this kind of rhetoric emboldens further more extreme actors than Pauline Hanson, right? We know that the kind of language she used, the one that concerned me the most wasn't the monoculture, that's part of it, but it was this reference to Australia being a Judeo-Christian nation. This is an idea of, you know, if monoculture is one culture, Judeo-Christian is an idea of what she sees that culture to be. And this is very, put very frankly, this is a dog whistle to the far right. This is there's lots of academic and expert literature on this phrase, Judeo-Christian. What does it mean? And it is a construction of the far right, it is used by the far right to sort of exclude the third Abrahamic religion. So in a modern sense, excluding Islam, and constructing this idea of the world as shaped by Judeo-Christian values. But that doesn't exist. Pauline's appealing to a version of Australia that's never really existed.
Okay.
And so I struggle with that, in that we know that it emboldens really, really extreme elements of the body politic. And so it means that, you know, when she says stuff like this, you know, my DMs, my mentions, my, you know, people like me, you know, receive a barrage of abuse.
Yeah, have you been getting some hectic stuff, Dani?
I think hectic is probably kind. I've written some of this stuff down, and I would say to our listeners, some of it is quite extreme. So I would say that. But I might read a couple of these out. Hey Danielle, Muslims are a cancer to Australia. Fuck off. Browns and Asians bragging about decaying another country like it's a flex. You ran away from your other country because it's a shithole. Now you're doing the same thing here. You'd do well to self-deport. Get out of my fucking country immediately, you foul jeet. Plenty of streets to shit in back in India.
Right, okay. So this is stuff that you're getting personally, Dani,
yes,
since the speech.
Yes.
Okay, right. Look, that is really, really intense. And I'm sorry that you're getting that, etc. I mean, there's so many views coming through on the text line now. There's so many different views of the speech, and also the stunt that happened as well, the stunt that GetUp claimed responsibility for, the poster that dropped down behind Pauline Hanson. What did you make of that?
Well, for a woman who dressed in a burqa in Australian Parliament, you think she'd love stunts, you know, and she'd be all for it. to be honest, I think it's important that when someone that is very controversial and has these bold inflammatory statements steps forward into the media or into public discussion, that they are met with just as bold of a response from people that oppose their views. I mean, we've seen it with transgender activists, with activists that are pushing for a whole range of issues that don't align with far-right behaviour. We are consistently hammered by the far-right and media. There's whole news channels set up to pulling apart LGBTI ideology and throwing it in the toilet. So if she wants to get up and spout her ideology, well, people are going to oppose that. And it's the right of free speech for people to have an opinion. And if they want to do that in the form of a protest, then I'm all for it.
Okay. I mean, there were a lot of people obviously saying it was kind of a safety issue and a security issue, and we need to be taking that stuff really seriously when it comes to the security of politicians. So, mixed opinions on that, and we know that an investigation is now underway. A lot of messages still coming through. Someone says, linking back to your angertainment discussion yesterday, so this is a chat we had on Hack yesterday, fear, anger and division sells, and that's what Pauline is spreading, that person saying. Another person saying, love Pauline or hate her, she's been saying the same thing for 30 years. Right now, we have the best pick of a bad bunch. The current government is heinous. That person's opinion there. And another person on the text line, backed by Gina Rinehart, says it all. What happened, etc., with Gina Rinehart trying to make bulldozer sounds on stage? Did you see this headline?
Yeah, I mean, my body has made that noise after eating bad Mexican on the night out, like, honestly. But it is troubling because you go, where are the lines of division between our richest, most wealthy business people and politicians that are meant to be representing the everyday Australian? And it's a hard pill to swallow where Pauline Hanson will get up and in one speech say, I'm fighting for the Aussie battler, I'm fighting for you, and the next moment is on stage accepting personal gifts from Gina Rinehart, who has never represented the everyday Australian in any one of her actions. And I think that this is a really important thing for people to consider if they are going to vote for Pauline or One Nation, really looking hard and critically at whether she is influenced by people that are going to best represent your values. At the end of the day, I don't necessarily think that she is influenced any less than any Liberal or Labor politician who is in the pockets of very, very wealthy donors.
Well, we've got a lot of messages still coming through. Chez in North Queensland saying, I just think people are not seeing the full picture here. It's okay for Albo to get weak questions thrown at him. I think a lot of people support what Pauline is saying, but again, no one is really exploring any of this stuff properly. So that's Chez's idea there on the text line.
Just on that, I think I don't think it was okay for Talbo to get weak questions. And when we had the last federal election, there was a massive debate about the role of influencers in the debate and how much airtime they were getting in terms of, okay, are these influencers as robust as political journalists by the State of the Press Gallery this week? Perhaps they were. But that was a massive debate when it came to the last election. I don't think it was sort of taken as read that it's okay for mainstream politicians to not be questioned as robustly.
Yeah, look, there's so much more to get into. We had also Gina Rinehart saying she wants Elon Musk to take over those islands off Queensland and start launching satellites and stuff off there. Wish we could have had time to get into that, but a lot of messages on the text line. Someone saying, I will never vote for Pauline Hanson, but then another person saying, Pauline hits home with a lot of Australians. Someone else saying, get her on the radio, Dave. Well, I have actually put in a request, an interview request with Senator Pauline Hanson. We'll let you know how it goes. Not so much luck with the ABC so far, but you never know.
Hack. Nah, it's a disgrace, like, honestly. It's once every 4 years, like.
On Triple J. Are you going to be watching this weekend? Australia taking on the US at the World Cup. We've got a few weeks to go in this tournament, but it's already offered up so much, from funny moments to controversy and some heartwarming stuff too.
Hack. Major World Cup controversy.
FIFA has responded to calls for an Australian official to be removed.
We're American, we don't take shit.
That's a lovely touch, and that's a lovely finish.
On Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear what you reckon of the World Cup. Is it living up to your expectations? Are you going to be watching the Australia-United States game over the weekend? And also, did you see that story of the Australian video assistant referee who got caught in controversy about a hand gesture? What did you think of that? 0439 757 555. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into some of the headlines of the week with entertainer, etc., media reporter at Crikey, Danny Saeed. etc. You big football fan, big soccer fan?
Oh, every time we talk about sports, you know that I'm bursting with passion to speak about it. Look, I haven't tuned in so far to the World Cup, but I've been seeing all of the discourse, and good for them. I'm glad they have a hobby, and maybe it will stick. Maybe people will finally start paying attention to this thing called, is it soccer or is it football?
I believe so. Yeah,
you know, soccer. Well, Timothy Chalamet said a lot about opera and ballet, and I have to say the same. You know, who's watching?
That's so true. So true. Who's watching, Dani? I mean, you'll definitely be watching.
Just about everybody else. Yeah. It is. I love the World Cup. I love this time of year. I think it is. It's okay. I love that we get on the bandwagon. I love that we, like a friend of mine, you know, Marnie Vinyl here at the ABC Sports Reporter, said, you know, it's okay to be a casual fan. It's okay for everyone to jump on board. And, you know, we're all equally qualified to get on board because we're all Australian. We're all having fun. And, you know, despite, I think, FIFA and the American government's best efforts to ruin everybody's fun, it is this beautiful, joyous occasion. There is just so much collective joy that just washes over you. And I think the one of the few saving graces of this World Cup is that it's in a very time zone friendly location for Australians. So that's a very pleasant change from the 2 a.m. Fed Square parties.
One of the things that's been getting a bit of attention in the last couple of days is the chanting, etc. So basically fans in the United States are being mocked on social media because everyone's saying that their chants really suck. Like some of the chants are, "I believe that we will win," or "USA, USA." I don't know. Do you have any tips for a good chant generally?
Well, I went to a private school that had only recently become coeducational, so they had a culture of extremely, let's just say, graphic school chants,
right,
none of which I can repeat on the radio. But I just suggest you've really got to get your heart and soul into it. And maybe they need to attend a few more high school sporting carnivals in Australia, and then they'd really understand how to chant.
Yeah. Exactly.
Extra read all about it.
Yeah, that's a classic. I loved the extra read all about it. Use that many a time. Yes. Dani, can we talk about Sean Evans, the World Cup video assistant referee, caught in that controversy, filmed making a hand gesture that's associated with white supremacists. But he came out and he denied it and he said he was really apologetic. It said, I don't know, I can't explain it. Maybe it was a nervous twitch. I was doing it like for hours on end. What did you make of that?
The explanation that has been given, and so I guess the history of the alleged white power symbol that he's referring to was sort of, it dates back just under 10 years and sort of it started in sort of niche internet forums and sort of got co-opted by the far right, particularly in America. And so this has been, like, I think well documented that it's been used by white supremacists, by neo-Nazis. Brenton Tarrant, the Christchurch shooter, flashed it during his court case over in New Zealand. So, like, it's sort of not necessarily a question that neo-Nazis and far-right supremacists use
it's
this
whether
symbol.
This was intentional
yes,
or not. And
then exactly.
An investigation was done and they said, look, we don't think that this was intentional. And we had a person there, the assistant referee, say, "I'm really sorry, like this is not who I am and I feel awful about
but
this."
But the alternate explanations that have been given have been that it's the circle game from Malcolm in the Middle and we all play that in primary school. But where you catch them looking at the little circle you've made on your leg and then you get to punch them. But this is a 38-year-old man and he said that it was an involuntary twitch, which sort of, I guess, raises my eyebrows more than anything else. I thought it was a very strange explanation, but I'm obviously not about to impute anything more sinister than that.
There's been a lot of comments on this, people saying, "Oh, it's not a big thing, get over it." Other people saying, "Oh, I'm outraged by it." It's just one of the World Cup controversies, and I'm guessing we're going to have a few more. It's definitely bringing a lot of people together. We're going to be revisiting this, I'm sure, in another shake-up, but let's move on.
This is Hack.
10 next-level AI wearables that are going to change everything.
On Triple J.
Yeah, turning to our fashion segment of the Shake Up, I see etc. Perk up immediately. Let's go.
That's my sport.
That's your sport. Let's get into wearable tech because Snapchat's been making headlines after its parent company released their augmented reality glasses this week. They say they're comfy, they're a game changer. Others are criticising it though, saying they're ugly. And maybe we need to just ditch the wearable tech.
Hack. The future of tech is no longer in your pocket. It's right in front of your eyes.
Your wearable's ugly because it looks like you're wearing an ankle monitor to dinner.
I love these, not only because they take videos and they take pictures and they can record up to like 30 minutes.
I ordered Submeta glasses and you guys, look how stupid I look.
What if your glasses could identify everyone you meet and pull up their background before you speak?
My friend bought Meta glasses. Honestly, the bottom tier invention.
What if the next big thing isn't in your pocket, but on your wrist, your finger, or even clipped to your shirt?
An Apple Watch is out.
Apple Watches have been out for... They were never in.
They're not cool and they're ugly.
On Triple J. Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this, and there are already so many opinions coming through the text line. Someone saying, nothing pisses me off more than someone wearing a nice outfit at a wedding with an Apple Watch. A smartwatch in general, you could say. Another person saying, hard... Oh, no, on wearable tech. Filming in public is already so intrusive and disrespectful, especially for families with small children. It sucks that it's become so normalised. Yeah, that is a popular take we often hear. And someone else saying there was once a time when wearable tech was so hated and unusual that people were getting assaulted in pubs for wearing the glasses. People were all worried about being filmed against their will. Yeah, it's definitely become a lot more mainstream. This is The Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Etc. Etc. and Danny Saeed. Etc. Would you wear some augmented glasses? What do you reckon? Is that your style?
Well, I'm wearing some right now. I hooked up a little watch battery to a pair of contact lenses and I'm streaming you directly to Russia as we speak. They're doing AI copies of your face to sell cornflakes. I'm not a really big fan of the wearable tech revolution. Once a guy showed me that he had an Apple Watch tan and that made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. But I think it's important for these accessories to be ugly because it forces them to be functional. Because if you're still going to wear something that's ugly, it better work.
It better be really good at what it does.
It better be really good. I've tried some of the really sleek, slick glasses and everything, and it just gives me a migraine. I don't know. I tried a VR headset that was like thin as a piece of paper or something, and it made me feel like I was going, again, to throw up in my mouth. So all of it makes me feel nauseous, to be honest.
Danny, what do you think of wearable tech? You into it, or is it making you nauseous as well?
I don't mind the old, an Apple Watch day to day, but like, I think we should, as a general rule, when it comes to the glasses and stuff, I think we should bring back some shame. Like, why are we recording people day to day? I think is the first part. The second part is have some. You're out at a wedding, take the Apple Watch off, put some,
any smartwatch. Can I just say any smartwatch?
Yeah, sorry, we are on the ABC.
Any particular brand, but
any
smartwatch.
Yeah, we are on the ABC. Take the wearable off. You can put it away. You don't need, especially at a wedding, you're out there celebrating, we're celebrating love at these weddings or at these events.
Bit of decorum.
Exactly, bit of decorum. Have some respect.
Okay, another person on the text line, I avoided the popular smartwatches and chose a different one that looks better, and even though the tech is worse.
Okay, exactly. Okay,
so chose for style rather than function. I mean, do you cringe a little, etc., if you see it in like a fancy situation? Like, how would you react if like a fellow drag performer got up and was all glammed up and then had the smart device on? Would you be like, it's ruining the outfit?
Yeah, of course. It is.
Would that ever happen at a drag show?
No, most drag queens have and drag kings have self-respect. But it just reminds me of like reading like magazines as a kid where you could order like spy gadgets,
And oh my God,
like,
yes.
It'd be like, get this watch that you can use as a walkie-talkie or buy these glasses that has a secret camera inside. And that's fine when you're 12 years old. But when I see grown adults wearing this stuff, it just reminds me of that. And I'm glad they're reliving their childhood. But it's time for us to grow up.
You think it's time to grow up?
Yeah, stop fiddling with your wrist, It looks like you've got scabies. Just put it away. Stop itching at it.
Oh, that's so funny. Someone else saying, I always thought wearable tech was rubbish, but my mum recently lost her sight and now she uses them all the time. Menus, bus timetables, location, they're amazing if used correctly, of course. And there are a lot of people who rely on this technology every day, and obviously it's made the world a lot more accessible. So we don't forget that as well. We've also got messages coming through saying, why does Dave keep saying et cetera, which is interesting. No, for no reason. No reason at all, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, that's a blow to the ego, but it's just another Friday, brutal, isn't it? Wow. Thanks, listeners, for really caring about me.
The vast majority know you and love you. And I have to say, that is all we've got time for on The Shake Up for now, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me back.
And Dani Saeed from Crikey, really appreciate your time.
Such a pleasure, as always, Dave.
And a big shout out to the hardworking Hat Crew, executive producer Edwina Story, radio producer Eva Blakemore, and all of our reporters as well. Angel Parsons, Jackson Worthington, Ariana Lucente, Alessandroloni, Shannon Schubert, Rachel Stowers, and Scout Wallen. I'm going to be back after the weekend.